The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor at KIOW Forest City and Doug Burns with the Carroll Times-Herald. A.J., you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thank you for the opportunity. Okay, the spending bill. Your thoughts on this now as they're pushing this off for a little bit, but they still want to get this thing through. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts are that most often you find controversy between Republicans and Democrats because nothing moves. In this instance, there's controversy within the Democrat Party for nothing happening here on that end. I'll tell you what my desire is. My desire is that they would do what the moderate Democrats in the House want to do and move ahead with the infrastructure, bipartisan infrastructure bill that I voted for, and get it to the president. I think the president needs a win. And if they did that, it'd be my hope that then the rest of this stuff all be dropped. Because I think the other stuff is very expanding of government activity in our society, particularly when there's a lot of programs that either discourage work or there's not a work requirement with them. And they aren't targeted towards the people that need it. In other words, as a means testing, I guess I would say. But the way that some are bound to go with the full $4.2 trillion is it's going to put a whole bunch of programs in place that are going to be difficult to sustain without dramatically reducing defense expenditure down the road, which is the number one responsibility of the federal government.
Senator, as part of that spending package, one of the proposals that's emerged is having Medicare cover vision, dental, and hearing. Is that something, what are your thoughts on
well,
that? You're obviously a senior and interact with a lot of seniors yourself.
Yeah. I don't hear about it from my seniors, but 40% of the people that are on what you call Medicare Advantage have some of those programs. Now, not everybody on American Advantage all over the country, because there's about 40 different programs that people can choose from. So programs would have different sorts of medical care in them. But people could get that if they choose some of the programs right now. So start out with the proposition that some of the 40% may have some or all of those benefits that they're talking about doing. So why don't we urge more people to go into Medicare Advantage? Now, then getting back to your other question, should it be available for fee-for-service Medicare? The only answer I can give you, just like if people propose the same expanding Social Security with certain programs that aren't financed now, in the latter instance, it runs out of money 2033. In the case of Medicare, it runs out of money 2026. And if you burden it down now with these programs, it would just advance those dates. And so consequently, I say these are legitimate things that maybe ought to be in Medicare, but I don't know how you could responsibly put them in Medicare without also at the same time negotiating long-term vitality of the Medicare system.
Senator, Chuck Schumer is calling for an increase, as is the Treasury Department, in the spending limit for the federal government. Obviously, all the Republicans, at least as far as we can tell, are against this. Your thoughts on this and why we should keep it right where it is, or maybe increase it slightly?
Well, I'm going to answer your question just dealing with the increase in the debt limit. Because a week ago today, it was part of the discussion to have it as part of the continuing resolution, in other words, funding government. So that went through on Thursday night and is going to be in place until December 3rd. So between now and December 3rd, we have to get all the rest of the appropriation bills through to fund government through September 30th, 2022. So the two are no longer tied together. The reason you asked the question, there was a major dispute between Republicans letting that happen, because we want the Democrats by themselves to deal with the debt ceiling, just like in 2003, 4, and 6, when Republicans had control of presidency in the two houses. Senator Biden took the position. Under those circumstances, Republicans have to increase the debt limit, and we did. Democrats didn't help us. It's turned around now, so politically is a good reason for doing it. But there's also even a more important reason. If Democrats think it ought to be bipartisan, then they should have us at the table discussing these big expenditure bills. They want to move ahead on their own, just like they did in March on the $1.9 trillion virus bill that only 10% of it dealt with fighting the virus. Everything else was the program's wish list of the Democrats. So they got a whole bunch of wish list things again. We think it's bad policy, but more importantly, we think it's going to feed the fires of inflation, and already inflation is high. We don't want to go back to the inflation of the 70s. So the Democrats want to do that, then let them increase the debt limit. But also there's that political reason for doing it, because they control everything. Doug.
Senator, the Wall Street Journal recently had a pretty devastating series on Facebook as a company, revealing documents that show that Facebook's trying to addict kids to its platform. Facebook has a COVID misinformation problem. And as we both know, they've really harmed the discourse just in our own state, in our small towns even. Should Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act be changed so that Facebook's considered a publisher, not a platform? Like right now, our newspaper is considered a publisher. I'm responsible for what we print. I'm responsible for letters to the editor. Facebook is just a platform and is held harmless. Should that be changed, Senator?
Yes. There happens to be a bipartisan agreement to that, but there's also a bipartisan agreement that it shouldn't be repealed. I'm not saying that group wouldn't make some changes in the 230, but I'd repeal it, or I would vote for some modification of it so it's not as protective of these platforms as it is. This is a little bit of history, and you didn't ask me for history, but in 1996, when we passed that, these platforms were all new, and nobody thought that they were new. They needed some protection to get off the ground. The words Google and Facebook and Twitter weren't even known in those days. So now they've become monopolies, and they're acting like monopolists. And they're not only that, but they're probably in cahoots with government in a way that allows certain information out that only the government wants out. And they become state actors in violating the First Amendment freedom of speech. And maybe in your case, that would even be freedom of press. So I'm going to end with a tribute to a whistleblower. We wouldn't even know about this if whistleblower didn't come out and tell us about it. So it's a crime what they're doing to the young people that your question comes from. Back to A.J. Taylor.
There is a proposal for a tax that would go on inheritance, and it would affect farmers in this area. Is there a push amongst conservatives to try and eliminate this inheritance tax, this doubling down on properties, so that family farms can continue to stay in families?
No Republican would vote for the bill that has that in it. And I think enough Democrats are hearing that doing away with a stepped-up basis or cutting the estate tax in half is bad for small businesses and farmers. So I don't see that going through. Doug, you'll have the last question.
Senator, we have a really prominent local doctor, Dr. Mark Collison, that wrote one of the strongest letters to the editor we've ever published. And his opening line in that letter to the editor is, "Vaccine doubters are killing innocent people!" Exclamation point. Do you think our local doctor is right with that observation?
Well, the answer is I encourage people to get vaccines. I'm vaccinated. I've had COVID. I advise other people to be vaccinated, but I don't know to what extent people that don't get vaccinated, that maybe also had the COVID, that have natural immunity. So from that standpoint, the doctor would be wrong. But if the doctor is writing that article to encourage people to be vaccinated, I would agree with him. Now, on the other hand, I don't agree with the president that he's got the power to have employers of over 100 force their vaccination. But courts have already said that any business can have their employees vaccinated if they want to. If the president says, I want congressional authority to impose what, assuming he doesn't have the power to do it, I wouldn't vote for that, because I think you have to have a balance between freedom and government action, and that's extreme government action. And besides, there are some instances where there's religious or health reasons why maybe you shouldn't be vaccinated, and that has to be taken into consideration at a minimum. So partially agreeing with the doctor, but I'm not going to say that those people that don't get vaccinated are killers, because I have no scientific basis for saying that. Thank you all very much, both of you. Goodbye.
Thank you, AJ and Doug, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.